the man who could not die. And just to let you know, I am not talking about Jesus this morning. The man who could not die. Verse 25 begins a story in which I want to paraphrase just for a moment to you so you will get the gist of what's on my heart and what I believe God would have us to hear in this place this morning. Simeon, a man who loved God, a man of God, a man who sought after God's will for his life, who denied himself and picked up his cross and followed the Lord daily. But he was a man who was put on hold, who was told by God Himself that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And in that process, indicates a lot of years he waited for his death. And when you think about it, from our perspective, we think about life and what can we do with it. And many will tell you that we don't plan our deaths because we figure they will come. And why think about it? So normally we leave that with those who are remaining in our lives to deal with. Well, Simeon waited on his death, but knew he could not die until he saw Jesus. And in this time of waiting, being close with the Lord, he was led by God's Spirit, which gave him direction in his life. And in many cases, we look and we're looking for direction in our lives. We know that there's a God. We know that there is a Savior. And we know that there's a place called heaven, a kingdom. But what am I to do with my life? How should I handle these predicaments that I am in? And how can I get from here to there? And that leaves our minds foggy. It leaves us in disarray. It leaves us with good intentions, but not really knowing what to do with them. And it is not that you and I are bad, corrupt people, but it just means we need some direction in our lives. Not only to be where we should be spiritually, but I will tell you, though we are judged by our souls, many people will draw a conclusion of who you are by your outer appearance and how you conduct yourself. So don't lose sight that the soul is the only thing in this life you should be concerned about. It is the number one concern, but it is not the only concern. But how do we conduct and how do we look on the outside? If you've ever noticed, when you drive to someone's house and you look in their yard, and it seems as if though the lawnmower was broken a couple of years ago and they did not have the money to fix it during the summer, and it would seem as if though everything they eat, now a lot of the trash never made it to the dump, but it just kind of lays around in their yard. Or you see where the kids may have a lot of toys, but they're here and there and yonder, and there's no organization nor any structure. You know automatically you've already made an assessment by the outside appearance of what the inside is like. So we should strive to do well. We should strive to conduct ourselves. And in this man, Simeon, I want you to look at the outer appearance of what he done so that you may have a good picture of his inner appearance. Simeon, waiting upon the Lord, saw him, knew him without any introduction, took him up in his arms, and then his life was fulfilled. It was complete. And he was ready to go on, to go forward. And because of that, God blessed him and God took care of him. But there's more about Simeon that I want you to know this morning than just a paraphrased story. I want to give you five characteristics of Simeon as we begin this sermon. Now, does everybody have their nickel that they were given this morning, or did you put it in the offering plate? If you've got your nickel, can you hold it up in the air? Kind of like you don't care. If I got your nickel, keep that nickel with the Word of God this morning. Keep it where you can see it. All right? Not where I can see it. You can put it down now. All right? But you keep it where you can see it. Now, I want to give you five characteristics of Simeon. And I want you to look at them, and then we will go into Simeon's name. Number one, you find in verse 25, the Bible says that, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and that he was a just man. What does it mean to be just? To be right. To be fair. He was a fair man. One who was sought after and looked on the outside appearance that he did things justly. He was a fair individual, not only to himself, but to others. Secondly, the second characteristic is that he waited for the Lord. Not only is he just and devout, which you know to be a devout Christian or a devout Jew or a devout individual means that you're just simply devoted to the cause. So for him to be just, he was fair. To be devout, he was devoted. That was his life. But secondly, you see in verse 25 as well, where it says that he waited for the consolation. What does consolation mean? To be consoled, to be comforted. And he was waiting on the comfort for Israel, which was the Lord's Christ, the prophesied Messiah. He was waiting on him. But it means that he was waiting. Now, I want to submit to you this morning that that means to be patient, child. How many of us pray for patience? Right. Right, because you know that God will help you with that. But I will tell you that you need to have patience. You need to wait upon the Lord and not be so anxious and headstrong. And you know, we do live in a society where everything is quick and fast, and the way we message and communicate anymore is just so advanced technologically. I hope you got that the first time, because the second one would really be a mess. But we have advanced so far, and God has given us so many ways of communication. But I see here where we have to sometimes learn how to wait. Wait and be patient. Simeon did that. That was displayed on the outside. But it came from the inside. Now, look at thirdly, our third characteristic of Simeon. Because you need to know Simeon this morning before you leave here. So tune in and get him and we'll go. The Holy Ghost was upon him in verse 25 if you look at the last part. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was an anointed man. And understand this, he was able to see the anointed because he was anointed. See, a lot of the times you recognize things because you are what you see. You ever heard the expression, it takes one to know one? You ever heard somebody say, well, look at him. Look at her. Well, see, a lot of the times you're seeing the very thing that you are. You recognize it. Example, if you put shingles on your house with your new tax money after you tithe unto the Lord and give to the building fund. Please understand, when you put those, not three tab, but 40-year architect, knowing you're going to get 20 years of life from them. So we go big and we wind up small. But when you put those shingles on your house, guess what you're going to be noticing when you're riding through town? It's not two burgers for one, but it's going to be the shingles on people's house. Why? Because that is a part of who you are. How about your car you just got this last year, or when you're going to get after you get your tax money and give to the Lord and give to the building fund and put shingles on your house? After that is done, you will go out and be looking for a new car. And when you go looking for that new car, when you do get that red Saturn outlook and you have a new perspective on life, you will understand and you will become to realize that there are other red Saturn outlooks in Florence. You know why? Because now it's a part of you. And many times we notice and recognize other people's good things and their bad things because you didn't realize it, but it may be a part of who you are. So therefore, you're looking for it because you're living in it. He was anointed. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And because he was anointed, he was looking for the anointed. It was a part of him. Many times we miss it. We do not see it because it is not even a part of us. We're looking for something we don't even have yet. So get some, and then you'll see some. Now, we see the fourth characteristic in verse 26. Are you with me right here in verse 26? Then it says that he will not see death. The Bible says in the second part of this verse that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was, his fourth characteristic, he was immortal. Immortality. He could not die. During this time of his life, God made a promise to him. He said, Simeon, you will not die until you see my son. No matter what battlefield he would have stepped upon, no matter if the arrows would have blotted out the sun, he would not have died. Someone could have stood at him at point-blank range with a six-bullet revolver and fired every shot, and none of them would have hit him. And I will guarantee you they would not have, because God said, you will not die, therefore he will not die. He was immortal. This man could not die until he seen Jesus Christ. And can I share with you this morning? That if God has got a purpose for your life and He sees where you're going to fulfill it, I'm not trying to make you lose perspective this morning, but it is as you are immortal, because you will not die and you will not go anywhere until God's done with you. I want you to see that this morning. If it is God's purpose and it is God's plan for you to become a part of His ministry, He puts His protection and provision over you, and no one can take you out of His hand. But you can walk out of it yourself, because you have that liberty, that free will. And I see here this morning where you and I, you know what I believe? I believe that we can become immortal as a church. And let me explain that. I know this is rich and this is deep, and I should explain it. I may get some flack from this. But can I tell you this morning that if it is God's plan, and I do believe it is, because God works in this church, that God can say, no matter what comes, if you will keep your eyes on me, if you will stay devout, if you will stay just, if you will wait on me and wait for the consolation of this church, and you will see the consolation of this church, and it is in Christ, that God says no one will be able to sidetrack you nor take you from who you are. Because He puts His immortality upon you and says no one can harm you nor touch you until I'm finished. And I believe that finish date is the rapture. But I do believe if we decide to move from the just and devoted, and to move from the patient to the impatient and get ahead of God, we have broken the seal of immortality of the church. And the days that you're sitting in right now will no longer exist, because you made a choice to step out of the immortality, the protection of God, and go into mortality. And I will tell you, this is not a human thing that's going on in this church. It is the God thing that's happening in this church. And if we take it away from that or lose sight of that, we will experience mortality in this church. But the flip side is, we're not, and we won't, if we do the thing that Simeon gives us here to do. Now, in the last one, verse 27, came by the Spirit. I want to show you something right here. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, Simeon was not a temple worker, But I want you to understand, he has been told by God. He says, if you will wait upon my son, and if you will stay committed and devoted to my son, you will not die until you see my son. And this promise was given to Simeon. But how did Simeon know that that Jesus had been born? Remember, he was born in secrecy. He had to be hid from Herod. There was not some big announcement. The shepherds did not text Simeon and just say, he's here, just simply. Not even in capital letters, not even proper. Just say, he's here. And he didn't know. But he was led of the Spirit into the temple, which gives us the fifth characteristic of Simeon, and it is this. He was a good listener. He was a good listener. And we can be devoted, just. We can be patient. We can be anointed. God's touch. This church is anointed. God's Spirit is on this place. When the prophets would anoint one, anoint the king, they were anointed with oil, but the oil represents what? The Holy Spirit of God. And if God's Spirit is upon this church and He's upon you, you are God's anointed. And I will tell you this morning that He was a good listener. And the success and the striving, not only in this facility, not only in your lives, but the success of your life will be because you were a good listener to God. You have to listen to Him. Have that discerning spirit to where God says, move, and you move. And what had Simeon said? Listen, please understand something. There was no marquee signs. There's no lights. There's not even any ESPN news or radio or TV. No, nothing. And what happened was the Holy Spirit of God told Simeon, said, Simeon, go to the temple. For your purpose in these years that you still remain has come. And God spoke to him. And please understand this morning, when you hear God's voice and He speaks to His sheep, some do, some don't, but what happens is, and I want you to be able to get this communication this morning, I don't hear God's voice audibly like you hear mine. But when God speaks to your heart, to your soul, He gives you that peace that passeth all understanding, and you know that He has spoke to you. Any other spirit that speaks to you and doesn't give you a good feeling is not of God. Because there are other spirits besides the Holy One. We don't battle against flesh and blood. It's the principalities, the powers of darkness that we struggle against. So we have to have that discernment. But how do you get that discernment? By being close to God. So what you have to do is don't start here. Don't start saying, well, what direction do I need to go for God? What? This church is on the move. Which way do I need to go? No, listen. The first thing you need to do is draw nigh, near unto God. Get close to Him. Be devoted. Be just. Be patient. Wait. Wait. And then the Holy Spirit will tell you, now, go here. Do this. And God speaks to your soul through the Spirit. And you will know when it's time for you to go to the temple. And you'll know when it is time for you to see Jesus. And you will know when it is time to embrace Him. And you will know what it means to live life and be ready for anything, even death. Stop trying to figure out what it is you're supposed to be doing. And understand, keep that mentality. But say, God, I want to get close to you. I want to be so close to you that when you speak, I know it's you. It's just like a radio communication. If you get out of range of the walkie-talkie, guess what you hear? It's just a bunch of static in it. You may even get a glimpse of a word. But when you come into range with that frequency, guess what happens? You hear it loud and clear. You know exactly what it is you're supposed to do. But if you're not within the closeness or the range or the frequency of where God's at. Now, God is everywhere. But understand, people walk through this life and they're not saved. So what you have to do is stop for a minute and understand and come to reality that He is here, and I need to take part in what He's doing instead of passing Him by. And what happens is it puts you in that mile range of good frequency, so when God speaks through the walkie-talkie, you understand loud and clear what He's telling you to do. So what's happening is maybe if you're not getting a clear direction in your life and you're getting bits and pieces and it's real fuzzy and it's breaking up, guess what's happening? It may very well be that you're not as close to God as you should be, because when you're close to God who speaks, the frequency is clear and you hear Him in the same manner. So get where God's at. Stop trying to figure out all the details. God, that's God's job. You're just supposed to be a custodian. You know that. And when you try to take that weight and put it on you, it overwhelms you because you're trying to do God's work. And nobody can do God's work but God. If you try to endeavor in that, it will kill you. It will suffocate you. And it will push you out of Christianity faster than anything else you've ever seen. Get close to God and let Him work through the vessel that He's made. And then you will see that. Because God speaks to you. This is how He speaks. He says, go to her house. Go to His house. Give that devotion. It's time for you to start tithing. It's time for you to be more committed. It's time for you to start going to Sunday school. It's time for you to have that personal training. Not just worship, but I want to equip you to go out. And no matter what size of the fiery dart Satan throws at you, the armor that you will develop in me, you will be able to stand the wiles of him and any other that may stand in your path. And that is understanding God's will. Understanding his will is getting close enough to where the frequency is. And you know what has to happen? God's always been there. You're the one that's going to have to change and make a move this morning. Don't cry out to God this morning and say, God, do this. No. You need to cry out to yourself this morning and say, this is what I know I've got to do. You can go from there. These five characteristics, being a good listener, is one of the most important. But I want to give to you now the name of Simeon, and I want to share with you this wonderful name. I think we have it up here. Yes, we do. Y'all done good. Y'all paid attention to the first one. You've done really good this morning. But now it's time to worship the Lord. Amen. So now, the S of the word Simeon. You will never look at this name the same. And if it sticks with you more than it does grits that are not stirred in a pot, we'll know we've done our job this morning. Amen. We got some Yankees in here because they don't like grits. You like oatmeal. Say amen. Okay, we got a good crowd this morning. Amen. Now here we go. You look at S this morning. You see silence. Silence is when you've been put in a position in life that you did not plan. You ever ask the question, how did I get here? And what am I going through? That is a very popular question among people. Why am I having to go through this? But here's what I want you to look at this morning. God has to take people like you and I, or anybody in this world for that matter, and He has to take you and He has to put you in a place of silence for you to listen. So God uses a method that most husbands do with wives. He gets a roll of duct tape. I don't have that problem. The ones who laugh do. So you need to work that out. But what I'm saying is God has to get you quiet. You ever notice that you can learn a lot if you keep your mouth shut? You ever heard those people that just go on and on and on? And those are the ones you avoid in Walmart. You see them coming down the aisle, remember? Oh, Lord, I hope they didn't see me. There's some people, you know what I'm talking about. But the thing is, you can't never go to Walmart without seeing somebody you know, right? But anyhow, that's why you need to shop online. But anyhow, the thing is, there's just some people, they just talk a lot. And can I send out a message this morning to those who don't talk a lot, since you are in a moment of silence?
listen a lot, too. It's okay for you to talk a lot, but take time to listen.
And what God is trying to do here is he puts Simeon in a predicament where he's in silence. Because watch this. The Bible indicates that he's been there because he says, "Now, Lord, let thy servant come." This hadn't just been going on for a few weeks or a few months. He says, "Now, can I go?" He was ready. And what had happened was there had been years in here that had put him in this predicament. But he was in a place of silence, which causes him to think and use his head. And in this case, he's able to open up his heart and listen in the silence. So God puts you in silence, and he understands that you won't understand until you are in a place of solemn quiet. And a lot of the time, you know why some of us don't get out of what we're going through real quick? Listen to me. Because you're still talking and you're not listening. God does not do these evil things, but he allows things to happen to get your attention for his glory. So if it is you're going through seems to be eating you alive, can I recommend one thing to you? You're not being patient like Simeon was. And because he listened, he was able to break the silence and achieve what God wanted him to do in his life. God puts you in silence in order that you will listen to him and think about it. But you know as well as I do, we're dramatic people. And a lot of times, unless something dramatic happens, it doesn't sink in with us. So he puts him in silence. Look at I illustrate. You ever heard this saying? Somebody's trying to tell me something. Something's going on in my life, and I don't know exactly what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but somebody's trying to tell me something. That's exactly what was happening here with Simeon. Somebody was trying to tell him. God illustrates to him and gives him a perfect image of what is going on. He says here in verse 26 that, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost." God reveals it to him by illustrating. So in your silence, he illustrates a picture for you and gives you clear, clear revelation in your life. Look with me at M. Verse 27 says that, in the last part, look at it, it says, "When the parents brought in child Jesus." He shows him here a ministry. He's ministering to him. He's ministering to the people. And I want you to see here where there is a new covenant being formed. A new relationship is being formed. The prophesied Messiah throughout the whole Old Testament has arrived. And in his silence, he has been given an illustration of what it is he's supposed to do with his life. And through that, God ministers to him. But do you see how significant this is? Unless you're put in silence, unless you see a clear picture of what it is God wants for you, he cannot minister to your soul. And he ministers here through the child Jesus. And can I tell you this morning, crowd? I love every one of you. You can believe that. You get to know me and you hang around me a little bit and whatever. I treat you so many ways, you always tend to like one. But God's put something in my heart as a pastor that he makes you love people. You ever had to be made to love somebody? There's some people you've got to work at loving. You can love them good from about a mile, but you get any closer than that, it's tough. Amen? I mean, it really does. You can love them good from afar. But them close-up people, you know, it's tough. But God's put a love in my heart, and it's like God's love. You know, if you're going to be like Christ, you have to have an unconditional love. But can I tell you there's something this morning because I love you? When you're sitting in messages like this one and God's tugging at your heart, and you leave here and there's tears running down your face, and you're standing there and you're feeling something inside you that you've never felt before. It's not a hunger pain. But there's something going on in your soul and you feel as if though somebody's tugging at your heart and it's kind of just compelling you and luring you to make that step. Do you understand this morning that that is God ministering to your soul? And take note of this, that the God who set the heavens and the earth takes time to notice even you. And he's tugging at your heart. And he's saying, "Come walk with me.
come walk with him. And he's ministering to you. You may leave this place with that tugging in your heart, but I want you to understand what that tugging is. And that's okay. But I want you to know that that's God of the universe tugging at a wretch like you and I, trying to minister to you. And I see now where the E is very important. Let's pull this together. The E stands for everyone. Look at verse 31 and 32, if you will, with me. Don't you get complacent on me now. Hold on a minute. He says, which thou hast prepared before all the face of all people, circle all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And you know this morning, if you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. He's talking about you this morning. And the glory of thy people, Israel. And that's where he's referring to the Jews. Do you understand this morning in this place that what he is saying here with this E is that this is for everyone. It is for every color, every male and female, every young child, every old person, and anybody in between. What he is saying here in this proclamation, he is saying that this is for everyone. What I bring, I offer to you. And I offer to them. It is not just for the Jew, but it's for the Gentile. It's not just for the white. It's for the black. It's not just for male. It's for female. It's not just for the young, but it's for the old. And God says He includes everybody. And when Jesus Christ come that day, that covenant was made. This new blood covenant. And he says that this will bring everybody. And it shouldn't just bring consolation to Israel, but it should bring consolation and comfort to your heart this morning. That God says, this is for you. And I don't want you to ever leave Lebanon Church and you feel like that message or that call from God was not applied to you, because I will tell you, the Word of God is for every one of you. And His promises are for every one of you. And that time that he spent on the cross, as Bob saying this morning, was for every one of you. And this morning, he's calling out to everyone, saying, this child Jesus, this Gentile and Israel nation, have now had the potential to be lit. Because he is the light of the world. And your souls can be the same way. Now look with me now at the O here. It stands for oneness. The opportunity, the oneness. It means in verse 30, look with me. He says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation. It tells me that this is a oneness. How do we become one with God? It is through Jesus. We have salvation. And as long as there is always a relationship that where God is here and you are here, unless you ever have Jesus, there will never be that united with God. You never become one with Him. So you're able to have the oneness through the salvation. But now, what is all this? Watch God work. Can we pray for a moving of the Holy Spirit of God? Can we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would fall down upon the souls in this facility? And as He does so, there's a solemn, holy hush in the crowd. And that God Almighty says, watch this. Simeon, He says, in order to have Jesus in your life, in order for you to become, He says that you have to first be silent. And when you're silent, you're able to see the illustration of God. And after you are given a very clear, vivid picture, He ministers to your heart. He reveals to you exactly the love and how He has included everyone to become one with Him. Now, I have shared with you 5 characteristics of Simeon. And now I've given you 5 letters from his name. And now I want to share with you the last letter of his name. The N. The N stands for nickel. You got your nickel? Now watch this. The nickel's in your hand, right? Don't answer this question, but to yourself. Is the nickel yours? Is the nickel a part of your life? When Simeon stood there, he walked into the temple. No one announced who he was. But he tells the parents, it's amazing in verse 33 where he says, Joseph and then the mother. He declares there that Joseph is not the father of this baby. It's amazing, isn't it? He says, but Joseph and the mother. Mary was the mother, but Joseph was not the biological father. This is God the Father's son. He is the biological one. And what happened in that day in that temple is far beyond what I am presenting to you this morning. But it said that God told a man, and he said, listen to me, Simeon. He said, I'm going to make a promise to you. And now when God makes a promise, he does not break them. But he says, I make a promise to you that you will not die, that you will live in immortality until you see the face of my son. Until the eyes see the salvation that I offer to not only Israel, but to the Gentile nation. And here we have five characteristics of who Simeon is. But I don't believe that Simeon had to have this story happen in his life to become any closer to God. This story were for people just like you and I. To be able to learn from what Simeon did and how he said, hey, he said, silence. It's time to stop everything that's going on in your life. And you must understand and examine who you are. You have to come to that point to where you say, wait just a minute. Hold the press. I got to examine this. I got to take a pretty... What if that preacher is telling the truth? And I see pictures and I see photographs and I see movie films where I see where my life is quickly passing me by. And I see now to where I've got to examine who I am. And I really got to ask myself this question. Am I taking time to sit in the silence of God and let Him speak to my soul? And through that, I want to see the clear picture that God has for me from the illustration. And then I want God to minister to my soul. I also want God to know that I know I'm a part of the everyone and that I can become oneness through salvation. Guess what just happened in these letters? Five characteristics and the five letters of Simeon's name just give you the five steps to walk into the presence of the Lord. That's what it takes. Maybe you've been wondering how, who, what, where. When this story tells you exactly the five steps that it takes to come into the presence of the Lord and see salvation. But now this message is not for just someone who doesn't have salvation. This message is also to the saint who has and does not realize what we've got. You want me to tell you why we don't realize what we got? If we really realized what we had in salvation, you could not come into this facility with anything other than a smile. I don't care if you buried your closest friend yesterday. That's bold, isn't it? But when you understand salvation, old saint, you understand what He did for you and how He set you free. How the chains have fallen off and how He spared your life and how He said, I will give you my life and your life. And that resurrects an expression on your face that nobody can take. A song in your soul that no other music can take. And that is when the saint really understands his salvation. And I want you to know something this morning. I think as believers, we need to open our eyes and see the child of God. But I also want you to understand this morning that this is for everyone. But guess what? Now, let me warn you of something. If you take part in this, and if you really, really do accept it, you need to understand now, it's going to change who you are. You're going to find yourself smiling sometime when you wake up in the morning time. I'm for real. You may even, you know what? Jesus overcomes the hurt. Have you ever noticed that? You ever notice when you feel sick, God can heal you? Stay with me, because I don't feel like I've gotten where I need to get yet. I know we're running over a little bit, and this is going to be a short sermon. But I don't feel like I've got it across to you yet. Listen to me. People hear me. When you wake up from this experience that you're in, you know, experiencing God, it's a great, great lesson. I've even been given a copy by Brother Vince. Several people have been through this experiencing God. But do you know what happens when you, and I haven't read the manual through, but you know what happens when you experience God? All you did was you really found out exactly what was already inside of you. It isn't that you found God. You just found out that God lives in you. And it really excites you. And it lets you know what you're a part of. And you want to know what's going on? Listen to me, believer. We should be able to stand up in a minute. Listen to me. And this day will come. We should be able to stand up in a minute and sing, la la la, praises unto God. There's supposed to be a song in your soul. You're supposed to be singing hymns and praises to Him. And la-da-da-da! And it's supposed to sound good. Can you do that? Can you sing unto the Lord? But let me tell you what's going to stop you from singing unto your Lord. The one that's sitting beside. You know why? Because you're seeing. That's why I know somebody got to turn your back, so don't. Just look toward the front. Don't be scared. Listen to me. Why should we fear anybody? God said if He's for us, who should we be afraid of? Now, what's stopping you this morning from worshiping God and serving God? Is it your neighbor? Is it you? Is it because that I couldn't stand up and tell you, well, God's not worth it because He is to you. But what's it going to take for you to come out of your shell and understand that salvation that's flooded your soul? It's inside of you. Do you understand that the very centerpiece of heaven lives within your heart? It's Jesus. God's Son. He lives in your soul as a believer. So you mean to tell me I can't go into a public place and tell them about the one who lives in my heart? Sure I can. Do I let them stop me from doing that? Am I ashamed of Him? Or is it this way? Is it because I'm afraid of what other people will do to me? You know what? You need to be more afraid of what God's going to do to you. Because He said, if you be ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. So guess who's going to plead your case when you get to heaven? Son. The one who lived in you. And you know what? Guess what? He knows you better than you know yourself. So guess what He's going to be able to tell the Father when you get there? This one's with me. They live for me, preach for me, talk for me, live a life unashamedly. And guess what happens? We don't want to give that up because you know what? We're going to have to give friends up when you do it. It doesn't mean that you turn your back on your friends, but it just means you're not going to be able to do some of the things you've been doing with your friends. You know that? But now guess what? We shouldn't be impressing who? Jesus or our friend? Who would you rather lose? Because this is what you're saying. If I choose Jesus, I'm going to lose my friend. But what you're saying on the other way is that I'm going to keep my friend and I'm not going to choose Jesus.
I'm trying to put this in perspective for you this morning so it's just not a one-sided concept. I need you to get silent, see the illustration, let God minister to your soul, know it's for everyone, and understand that you can become one with God, but you've got to do it now, and you've got to do it because this is the day of salvation. What are you ready to give up? Do you know that everything you've ever done in your life, you basically had to give something in order to go up? You've got to give up. And if you're ready to take the next step with God, you've got to give something up. Somebody in here has probably got anger issues. You need to go to anger management. Well, Jesus has got a really good class on that. Some of you need to, you're having problems because you're something in your head and you just love profanity because it makes you feel macho. Well, God's got a good non-profanity class. Crash course. There's some of us that have problems with nudity. You just can't deny yourself and you just got to keep going in that. God's got a good course for that. But I'll tell you what all of us need more than anything else in this world, in this right now, in this Christmas season, it is for you to understand and see with your own eyes the salvation God's already given you or the one He's offering. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to give something up in order to get it. And here is my biggest concern. Ready? Now, the way I love all of you people and how I trust in my heart, I'll be able to see every one of y'all's faces when I get to heaven. That's what it's about. Because you know in about, 20, 30 more years, some of us, here's the truth, this is bad, but some of us, this church, everybody's in this church, somebody's going to die in the next year or two. That's not so bad. I'm not trying to scare you, but I mean, old age will claim, sickness will claim. It's just a cycle. It's just a cycle of life. We may even lose some young ones. We may lose some old ones. I don't know that. God knows that. I'm not trying to scare. I'm just trying to tell you, you need to be ready, and you need to not let your job. You can't stand before God and say, well, my job didn't let me go any further than what I was because of my position. Please don't let that be your cry when you get to heaven. Please, God, don't let that be your cry. And please don't let saying, well, you know, I just really didn't want to do it. God, I was just waiting a little bit longer. I was about to give that up. Please, God, don't let that be your cry. Please don't. Don't let it be that your husband or your wife or your hindrance. Because as much as you love them, God will not accept. You can't say, God, that's the one you give. God's going to be talking about the opportunity. Not the materialistic philosophy. He's just out giving. And this church is on the move and it's moving, but I'm telling you, more importantly than anything else, the church is your soul. And I could care less. The building program that I want to put emphasis on in this message, by this story given by Simeon, is inside of you. And I don't want you to live a life of Christianity ashamed of what you are. Man, we ought to be able to just leave here. And I'm telling you, think, well, he's just a preacher. He's, you know, no, no. But you ought to be able to leave here. I mean, just because of his. We got to stop for just a minute, put on the brake, and just say, my God. How great thou art. And see with your own eyes the salvation that he a man said he would die for you, and he did. It would be a big deal today if I went out there and someone was about to harm you and I jumped in the way and died. Man, y'all make a memorial out of me, put my name up, say he was a good old fella. He saved old so-and-so's life. But so much time has gone by that we lose sight that Jesus Christ said, you will not have to die. He said, I will step out of heaven and I will die in your place. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love God. You know what? They may take my house in this recession. You know, we got to be ready for that. We need to give a course on how to be ready for this stuff that's coming. Jobs and stuff being lost. This is big. They can take my job. They can take my house. They can take my car. I've already got preparations to get me a cool 10-speed with tassels on it. I'm telling you, I'm not going to quit serving God. It might just take me a little longer to get there, and I might have a little better physique, too, from that bicycle. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. You can't quit on God. And listen, they can take everything away from you, okay? But let me tell you what the saint who knows what they've got in their heart will still be able to smile and say, they cannot take away my salvation. It's done been paid for. Bought with a price of blood. And you'll be able to look at people like Peter and John did going into the gate. And these people will be asking you for alms. And you'll be able to say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. I can give you what God gives to me. I can't give you salvation, but I can live it in front of you so much you'll desire it. And I'm as happy as I've ever been. And I'm going to tell you what I pray for, and you might hate me after this, but if this recession is going to fill this church up and put people on their knees, because you know why people are not getting saved and living for God, it's because they're too prideful. You've hid behind your dollars, and you've hid behind your materialism. You've hid behind your extra houses. You've hid behind all these things, and there's nothing wrong with them, but if you put them before God, you cross the line. And what's happening is you can't hide behind your almighty dollar anymore. You can't hide behind that big retirement you got anymore. You can only hide behind the one who has a greater power than you do now, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe we are to start worshiping him and living for him and telling people about Jesus Christ. And we can't let this damper of people telling us, you can't do that. Don't tell me. I was at a little big kind of party last night. I mean, it was a party there. I mean, it was a shindig, I'm telling you. And the thing was, I was asked to pray. And I don't know who's all in the room. But let me tell you who I prayed in. And then, hey, you know what I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus. You pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't just ask it in somebody's name. I'm going to ask it in Jesus' name. And I know I'm keeping you here long and you're hungry, but I'm trying to get you riled up. I'm trying to get you to a place to where you're motivated. And I know I done missed my altar call. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we come to this place and all it was another Sunday, we missed it. We missed it. I want to see people get shook for his glory. I want you to hear, here's what the saints are going to start doing. Ready? You're going to be able to come in church on Wednesday night. I got to get the front where you can see me. I lost my job today. Yeah. And guess what? I'm going to lose my house too. And guess what else? I want to know where you're getting that 10-speed from, preacher. Because I need one tomorrow. They're coming to get my car too. And see what it is. You think it's crazy. But I'm telling you, there's something down in my soul that tells me everything's going to be all right. And that God loves me. And that he died for me. And no matter what the world is doing out there, I can't lose sight of that. And I got to claim that and take that because I'm 32. I'll be 72 when I blink my eyes. I'll be turning the hourglass over and say, can't do that. And my life's come to an end. And I'm going to look in a mirror and I'm going to say, what did I do for the glory of God? Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Absolutely nothing. There's a song that goes like that, but I'm not going to sing it. Hey, we got to get fired up for God. And this can't, I'm not just trying to establish some emotion in you. I'm trying to give you some word of God in this emotion. That you'll walk out of this place and you're fired up, you're ready. It's like you've been to a Friday morning pep rally at a high school game. You've seen the cheerleaders do their dance. And you heard them shout their alma mater. And you're ready to walk out of God's house, ready to conquer the world. But you got more in your sack than just hot air. But you got salvation. And guess what you did on this morning at Lebanon Church? You saw. All I want you to do is see what you've got. And somehow, some way, we as saints have lost sight of what we've got. Do you understand that you stand in the power of God?
in His might and in all of His glory. That is the ground in which thou standest. And I want to know the truth. Simeon was able to say, "Now, Lord, let me go." It wasn't so much that he was ready to leave this life, but he said, "All my life I've been searching and looking for something. Now I can live in peace and I can die. Because I've got everything I ever need. And that is salvation. And that is healing with God." My time, I don't know how to close out. Will you just stand with me across the congregation? This is what I want to do. Miss Gail, will you just go and play something for us? I'm not going to pray, so you start playing. Play something pretty. Will you bow your heads with me? Your eyes are closed. Guess what's going on this morning? I see over 200 people who are ready to go get something to eat. And I won't be far behind you. Do you know one thing that's going on in this church? God is blessing. God is moving. This church is for a church for anybody and everybody who will come. You know what's fixing to happen in this church for too long? We're going to have to knock that wall down to your left. It's got to go. We've got to have more room. God's moving. But I want to tell you with all my heart, I want this church to run 1,000 people. I want to build an immaculate facility. But I will make a promise to you this morning from my heart to yours. I am more concerned about the church. You are the soul. Listen to me, saints. I am no better than you are. God doesn't look at me and say, "Oh, I love that one more." No, God loves you as much as He loves me. And God is working in these people. He's working here. But I want to know this morning this. Nobody's looking around. But if you're a saint this morning, you've been saved, and you feel like your sight may be a little dim this morning on your salvation, I just want to stick your hand up. Stick it up for me. Be honest. If you think you've lost a little sight, you don't have that, stick it up high where I can see it. Don't be ashamed. You've lost sight. Your vision's good. Leave them up there. You've lost sight. Nobody's looking around. It's just between you and God, myself. But I will tell you, the song in your heart, it doesn't sound as long. It's not as loud as it used to be. And you want that. I want you to go and pray, if you will. If God's moving your heart, and you need to go and pray at an altar, you go right now. Nobody's looking. You go. Today is the day we step out of being ashamed. And we say, here I am, God, restoring my heart, that soul. God, may it seem to many people hear it in the mountaintop. Make my vision clear that I understand the salvation that I see with my own eyes. Saints are praying. Now here's for the sinner. Listen to me. I love you. Man, I love you. And I mean that. And this is what I want you to do. If you're here this morning and God has spoke to your heart, and you really don't feel like you can go down to an altar this morning, nobody's looking around, will you just stick, I'm not going to ask you to go to the altar, will you just stick your hand up for me? You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You have never asked Him to come into your heart. Will you just raise your hand for me? Will you be honest with me before God? Nobody else is looking. Stick your hand up for me, please. So everybody in this church is saved. You're a Christian. God has already answered your prayer. You've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Then my call is to the saints one more time. Do you find yourself walking in places and you're ashamed of what He's given you? been giving God the time that He deserves, because that means your sight has gotten old. Listen, if we're going to be a dynamic church, it's going to be because we exalt the name of Jesus and we stand under it no matter what. Christians are praying. God's moving in your heart. Now, can I tell you something? Listen to me. I'm almost done. That nickel that's in your hand, guess what that represents? Simeon had Jesus in his arms. And some of you do as well. But it's until you let Him be formed in your heart, that is when that nickel will make sense. As long as you hold it in your hand, it will never be formed in your heart. And Simeon held Him. But it is when we as people form Him in our hearts, it is then and only then that it becomes a reality and it becomes authentic. Will you look this way? To God be the glory. May we lift His name up. May we give Him all the honor and glory that He deserves. May we take Jesus Christ from this place, and He walks out with us in our hearts with a new sight of salvation. That we know that child Jesus has come, and that's why we have Christmas. To celebrate the birth of the One who came and died for us. But not only died for us, but showed us how to live life and live life more effectively. And it is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, that we will strive for and that we will work for. That there will be more souls in heaven because we went to work. Because we lived an example life on the outside that showed and displayed. Because I'm telling you, there are too many people who are living a life and they've got some stuff in their showcase, but not enough stuff in their warehouse. You've got to make sure your warehouse is full of what's on display in your showcase. You walk out of here singing a song, a melody from your heart.